Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, here's some of the numbers to set up the conversation today, which I hope you will be in tune for and listening carefully and ready to do something about it. This is a massive problem, and oftentimes when we talk about sex trafficking, you'll think Moldova or Russia or Thailand or Africa, places like that. No, this is a massive problem right here in the good old U.S. of A., and whether we're talking about my state of North Carolina or your state, wherever you happen to live, this is happening all across the fruited plain, and so that's why this is such an important topic today as we unpack this from a lot of different angles. 40.3 million people are slaves worldwide. 24% of those are children. Trafficking is a $150 billion industry. The average age for entry into sex trafficking in the U.S. is between 12 and 14 years of age. 75% of traffickers were abused as children. One in five runaway children will be trafficked. A pimp's annual income, over $600,000 a year. So we're going to talk about all of this today with Nicole Bernard, who's the executive director and founder of Shield North Carolina, which is here in North Carolina. She was just recently up in Washington, D.C., and we'll find out about Nicole's background and how she got involved with this, and then some practical things that Shield North Carolina is doing. But like I said, just because we're talking about Shield North Carolina, we're talking to two people from North Carolina. This is a subject and a matter and a concern that exists in all 50 states and, in fact, all around the world. So we all need to be paying attention and being ready to do something about this. And then we're also talking to a friend of mine, Anthony, who we met, Anthony, what, like a year ago or something?
Yeah, about a year ago.
Anthony came. We did a little screening of I Can Only Imagine here in Raleigh, and Andy Irwin, one of the two brothers that directed that movie, was in town, and Anthony came to that and introduced himself to me. And I'm like, who's this Anthony Varen guy? Well, he got saved at a Harvest Crusade, Pastor Greg Laurie, which most of you know. I was working with Harvest for like seven, eight of the past year. So we had that in common. And then this is something that Anthony's been involved with as an activist and a volunteer. And then he, not that long ago, said, you got to get Nicole Bernard on to talk about what she's doing and what the organization's doing. So Nicole and Anthony, welcome to the show. How are you guys?
I'm doing amazing. How are you doing?
Great.
Nice.
Thanks for having us.
There's Anthony, just dives right in, and Nicole's just pleasant. With this nice smile.
Heavy
in her manners. And then there's Anthony. So Anthony, you just wait. Be calm.
I will do that.
He's excited. He's got a lot to say today.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's why you guys are here. So Nicole, why sex trafficking? How did you get involved in this this discussion and this movement and the great need that we have to fight it?
I found out that it existed. That's all it took for me. I actually read a book called Half the Sky. This was about a decade ago. And it's about international trafficking. It's one of the major themes of it. And it's just about the plight of women around the world. At the time, I had three really small children, and I was horrified. At that time, I wasn't a Christian. And even still, I just uttered up this Hail Mary prayer. Let me end this, God. Just help, you know, empower me to end this.
What year was that?
Gosh. Okay. So that may have been 2008. It may have been 2009.
Okay.
And, but about 6 years ago, I became a Christian. And, but you know, when you are a young mom of three kids and you find out that there is sex trafficking and there's this violence that you can't even imagine going on across the world, you feel really helpless. And so I kind of went down this other, you know, a different path. And, you know, I had uttered up that prayer, but didn't have any way to do anything about it. And a friend introduced me to Christ. Her name is Erin Wallen. I accepted Christ in the middle of the night on a bathroom floor. That's a whole other testimony for a whole other day.
Awesome.
And about a year after that, my life was kind of crumbling. Erin invited me to this mom conference. And then I found out that human trafficking was happening here in North Carolina, in my own country. And that is when...
And literally, almost literally in your backyard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It could have been happening in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so there was a wake-up call that 10 years ago, and I'd asked God to use me to end that. And then there was the, okay, I'm choosing you. And there was a speaker that day who said, there is someone here who is going to be going out and getting in the game, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was me. Earlier at that conference, Erin, my friend, I had gone up with her for prayer, and there was a woman there who had prayed over me, and she called me. She was speaking life over me, and she called me the game changer.
Wow.
And here's the interesting part of it is that at that same conference, there was this woman who I didn't know what was going on with her, but man, she was in bad shape. I mean, I thought she could have been living out in the streets. She looked like she'd been living in darkness for quite some time. Her teeth were bad. Her hair, she was thin. She looked very ill. I didn't know what was going on with her, but I could tell her desperation. You could sense it on her. So the fun part of my story is that fast forward to now, after that conference, I never looked back. I knew it existed. That's not good enough for my country. As a Christian, that's not good enough for my king, and I'm his hands and feet. So I just got to work. And so I founded Shield North Carolina about a year ago. Well, the day after that conference, my friend Erin went to law school. She drove an hour and a half.
Wow.
Both ways. She had three kids herself. She graduated in the top two of her class. And so we both had our own things going. And we ended up back at the same point. So she was given some legislation. The Lord just downloaded blueprints for her. And I was brought kind of to the same point of some things that God was telling me to push in North Carolina. And we ended up at the same point. And we come to find out we got – God opened lots of doors, and I walked through them. And so last week I was in Washington, D.C. in the Eisenhower Executive Building right next door to the
right by the West Wing.
Right by the West Wing. And so she and I together were pitching what our country needs. So we were doing what moms do, which was advocate for our kids.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Moms are dangerous people.
Moms are dangerous people.
We have four kids. My wife is a little demure Italian gal, but don't get in between her and her kids. So that's not going to go well for you. And we're going to learn more about that and kind of the program going on there, Nicole, and with Shield North Carolina. But Anthony, how did you end up in this fight?
Yeah, I got involved about 6 years ago. I was invited to a screening of a Nefarious Merchant of Souls at Biola University. And I had no idea what I was getting involved
in. Biola in Southern California?
Southern California, yep. And so I had no idea what I was getting involved in. And they showed this film about human trafficking in Thailand and other countries. But what really woke me up was the fact that there was actually human trafficking happening in Las Vegas. And so I knew that a lot of sexual things were taking place in Las Vegas, but I had no idea that human trafficking was happening in our own backyard.
Yeah.
And so I began to do some research and try to understand a little bit more. And it just really began to open up my eyes to what was actually taking place.
Yeah, and we're going to be working to open up your eyes today on the show. We're talking to Nicole Bernard, who's the founder and director of Shield North Carolina, as well as my friend Anthony Barron. Well, Nicole, now you're my friend now, too.
Yeah, we're friends now.
Like forever.
Forever. We're
BFFs.
Sorry
besties
about that.
Besties now.
Sorry
we're
about
besties.
That. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show, talking about something that we need to talk about more often. I need to do my part. You need to do your part. But two people that are already doing their part in our guest today, Nicole Bernard, who is the executive director and the founder of Shield North Carolina, and my friend Anthony Barron, who I said my friend. I did it again. Nicole's my friend, too.
I'm your friend, too.
Full disclosure, Nicole is my friend now. Forever
about
friend.
This.
Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
No. Listen, you're this... driven, intense, Holy Spirit-filled mom who has
oh, I like that.
Who has chosen to engage this topic of sex trafficking, to do something about it while being a wife and a mother.
Yep.
So don't act like some wallflower that's going to be really hurt because I forgot to call
you
my
already.
Friend additionally.
All right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right. All right.
Obviously, Nicole is a tough woman. Anthony is not a tough woman.
But I'm definitely not a tough woman.
No, not
but
at
Anthony's
all.
A volunteer show. And an activist as well. They're both very passionate. And Shield North Carolina started not that long ago. When did you start?
We officially opened January 1st of 2018.
And so what would you say the general public, both inside and outside the church, what would you say is our understanding here in America of the problem of sex trafficking?
Yeah. So everybody thinks that you got to hold your kids close at Target or Walmart because they will get abducted, thrown in the back of a trunk of a car, rolled off. You'll never see them again. They're going to be on the sex market. It's really not how that happens.
Yeah.
Or the other scenario that I hear is that, you know, these are people that are getting shipped into the United States or shipped out of the United States. And all of those scenarios happen. There's no question. Those scenarios happen. But it's much more likely that you're going to have somebody trafficked within the United States who's from the United States. About 37% are actually trafficked from family members. So it's
from family members.
From family members, yes. And that's important to know, because if you have someone who's being trafficked by their mother, for example, they may not know that what's happening to them is any different than another family. This is so normal for them. With Mayor Lance Olive from Apex, I do the Red X podcast, and we actually interviewed one of the survivors, and that's exactly what happened to
her. How can people listen to that podcast?
Go to redxpodcast.com, or you can download it from iTunes. You know, your iPhone, it has that little purple icon. You can subscribe there. Just click on the podcast. We're right there. But one of our episodes.
Hey, Evan, make sure you throw that up on the screen. So if you want to follow that, you can get to our Facebook page. Right now we're doing Facebook Live. Just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. You'll be able to follow that link.
Yep. Red X podcast. So we had a young girl that was on, and actually this young woman was the woman that I had met at that conference.
Wow.
She was sharing her story, and her adopted mother was the woman who prayed over me and called me the game changer. So God just painted all of that into a beautiful masterpiece. But she was trafficked by her mother within her own home. So that breaks kind of all the stereotypes, right? So she wasn't abducted. She wasn't being drugged. It was her mother. It wasn't her father or uncle. It was a woman. She was being trafficked for drugs, but she was not being drugged.
Now, is this like urban, suburban, rural?
She lived in a rural area.
A rural area.
A rural area.
Because we all would have guessed urban.
Uh-huh.
And that just doesn't fit that one either.
Nope, not for that story, no. And it started at age of 5 for her.
Golly.
So the average age is 12 to 14. You said you have a 14-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 13-year-old girl. She's turning 13 next month. They're still babies in a lot of ways. These are very young kids. So when you have a really young kid who doesn't know who they are, how easy is it to tell them who they are? This is what will give you worth. If you have a vulnerability, like you're a homeless kid, how easy is it to say, here, come crash on my sofa. But if you want to stay, you're going to have to do this for my friend.
If they're in your keep, right.
If they're in your keep. So that's where we see sex trafficking happening a whole lot, is with homeless youth. So it's about in the first 48 hours of a kid going missing, if they're just a runaway, it's about a 20% chance that they're going to get be trafficked. And they're looking. Pimps are not dumb. They're smart. They're looking where these young kids will go.
Who's buying in America, in the American context? Who's buying?
It is middle-class white men. And I think that's why I want Anthony to talk too about the demand side of this.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have people buying, we don't
of course.
People being lured into
it's classic supply and demand.
Absolutely.
These rules have been in place for 5,000 years. So Anthony, from a man's perspective, when you first started finding out about it, what kind of welled up in you? And tell us some of the things that you've been doing to be involved as an activist and a volunteer.
Yeah, that's a good question. So some things that really welled up in me is, how can this be happening in America? I mean, we live in a nation where we're free from so many things. We're one of the wealthiest nations in the planet, and yet we have a problem with sex trafficking happening with our own kids.
And we've also made a practice and celebrate the murder of 60 million unborn children. So,
absolutely.
When they say anything's possible in the land of the free and the brave, you're right, it is.
Absolutely.
On the dark side just as much as on the light.
Absolutely. So one thing that really welled up in me is I kept asking myself, what can I do as an advocate to get involved in this? And what most people don't realize is most men are not involved in this fight. And the reason that most men are not involved in this fight is because they're wrestling with pornography.
Yeah.
And people don't realize.
So you don't have any moral authority.
there's guilt
and shame.
Yeah,
so you don't go there.
No, you're not going to go there. And a lot of times people don't realize the effects that pornography has on human trafficking. And so what people don't understand is they say, well, how can someone just go out here and go sleep with a 14 or 15-year-old girl? Well, the problem is when you've been looking at pornography for so long, your mind no longer has that same rationale to want to do those things. So now what you see is you just see an object. You just see someone that's going to please you, $50, $100, whatever the case may be. Backpage, all these websites.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can shut down a website, but the very next day there's a brand new website already available. And so people don't understand that demand is there because the supply is there because most people are struggling with pornography.
Well, hey, listen, I've got a friend who's a dear follower of Christ, and I met him about 8 months before he went to a federal penitentiary for possession of child pornography.
Yeah.
And it started for, and we're talking like below the age of five.
Yep. Yep. Mm.
And it started for him as a young boy looking at his dad's magazines.
Absolutely.
And it gets darker and darker and darker.
It does.
And it's just like any other drug addict where it's you got to go harder and harder to get to the same high or low, whatever you want to call it. And the next thing you know, because sin will take you much farther than you'd ever
think
you would go.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, there you are. Yep. And so that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that people don't understand. They think, well, I'm just looking at an image on a screen and it's not that serious. But what you don't realize is that image is going to turn into something darker and darker because it's like a cocaine high. As soon as you take that one hit is no longer good enough. You want more and more and more. And so I tell men all the time, I says, men, if you don't do something with porn addiction, I can promise you it will do something with you. You need to get this thing under control. And that's why one thing that I have a great desire is helping men understand the effects of pornography and helping them fight back against it. Because if you stop the supply, you don't have the demand. Right. You've got to stop the supply first. And it starts with men walking in integrity and fighting against pornography.
Amen. How many people, Nicole, understand that? Kind of the pathology behind this whole thing
in the
porn context.
I think that most people don't fully get that because pornography has been so incredibly normalized.
Average age first exposure is now nine.
Nine. That's right. Yes. I was just telling somebody that today because they were saying, can we exempt out of having somebody talk to our kids about pornography? And I said, that would be naive to assume that they would be talking to them before they've actually seen it.
If you're comfortable with dereliction of duty, go right ahead.
No problem. Yeah, exactly. So average age nine. And I think it's normalized, first of all. But also, I think that sometimes people don't want to look at that because it's the men we love.
Yeah.
It's an addiction. We got to face it, though. Call it out.
It's all over the place. It is the cancer. And we'll talk about this. Utah, finally, one of the states in America. And Amber's here today, who's a friend of mine. And people are starting to wake up. It's pandemic levels out there. And we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the government reaction. We'll talk about the church reaction when we come back. Talking about sex trafficking. This is Steve Noble. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can jump on Facebook and join us there. Just go to The Steve Noble Show because you're looking at your Facebook feed right now already. So all you need to do is throw it in the search box. Some of you listen to the show delayed, so you can always join us live right here in the studio. And we're outside of Raleigh, North Carolina on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. That's all I'll tell you. Because not everybody loves me. So we don't make the studio location a very public piece of information. And but today, talking about something that's super important, which is sex trafficking, and it's something that we tend to think internationally about it, but it's a national problem. It's at epidemic proportions. It involves pornography, which is definitely an epidemic. And whether you think you're safe because you live in the suburbs, you aren't. And if you're involved in pornography, you're part of the problem and eventually could be an end user of sex trafficking, including child sex trafficking, which most of them get in there between 12 and 14. It's just horrific, worse in other parts of the world. But today, talking with Nicole Bernard, who is a wife and a mother and decided, and God just put it on her, that with her own children, she had to do something, and she certainly has. Founder and director of Shield North Carolina, that website, by the way, if you want to go there, we put it up on Facebook, but it's just shieldnc.org. This is touching a nerve. If you're already in this fight, if you want to get involved with this fight, whether you live in North Carolina or not, you need to go to that website. So if you go to the website, shieldnc.org, you'll begin to understand a framework for what's going on and how you can get involved. You are not especially qualified in one way or the other.
That's right.
Nicole, you just saw a need. You were touched by it, enraged by it, as you should be, and then decided to act. And imagine if every Christian did that within the sphere of our own world, what kind of difference we could make. And then Anthony Barron is here, a volunteer and an activist, and so we're coming at it from a couple of different directions. But let's talk about – we're going to end up talking about the specific program that you guys have developed at Shield North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You're just up in Washington, D.C. talking about that, so I want to make sure we give it ample time. But what's been the reaction, like the governmental reaction, mm-hmm. a national level, state level, local level – the government reaction, and then any government interaction. And then mm-hmm. we're going to do the same exact thing with the church. But let's start with the government.
Yeah, so I think that what you will find with the government is that, you know, there's been a lot of movement, a lot of anti-trafficking movement. I would say that we should be proud of where our government has gone, has taken this fight. Homeland Security, FBI, I mean, all the state agencies are aware. FBI has had numerous, you know, crackdowns, especially during this last administration. We've seen the arrests go up. That's been exciting. In terms of addressing the demand, though, you know, here in North Carolina, I'll give one example. If you are arrested on prostitution charges, so you are the one being sold, even if you're a trafficking victim. But let's say that you don't disclose you have a pimp behind you. If you're arrested, you are going to be charged with the same crime against the state as the person who bought you. So the buyer is going to get...
Say that one more time.
So the buyer and the prostitute are considered the same crime against the state. So here in North Carolina, if you are caught purchasing sex, it's about a $500 charge for you. It's a class 1A misdemeanor. It's kind of a slap on the wrist. It's not a deterrent. And we know that, you know, it's a really small percentage when you start really asking the right questions. You find out that most people who are in a situation where it's considered prostitution are not actually prostitutes. They are victims.
Yeah, they're victims.
So we really have to go at it, you know, addressing the demand side. But it's right now our laws, at least in our state, are kind of a slap. They're not a deterrent. So I would like to see higher charges against the buyers. And we're not seeing that in all of the states.
Well, yet. There was that story that broke recently. So Amber, find that for me or remind me of the girl's name who went to jail because she killed her John, but she had been sex trafficked.
Centoya Brown.
And then now she's finally getting out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's and where was and what was her? Do you know her story? Like, how old was she when she was?
Yeah, we reported on this on the Red X podcast actually when it first came out. She was being trafficked, and I believe that it was as a minor. I can't remember all the details, to be honest with you, but it was in Tennessee, and so she was going to be charged with some, you know, like life in prison essentially. Yeah. But we know that she probably had such high levels of victimization and traumatization that's probably what led to what could have been a self-defense. But so it's, you know, it's getting courts and judges educated on, is this person doing this willingly, or is it, you know, is it really their free will?
Right,
a lot of
right.
times it's not.
Yeah, a lot of times it's not. And so is there anything on the federal level or on the state level where they're doing it well? Because we're going to talk about the program you guys are trying to implement here in North Carolina. But who's doing it well? And then I want to mention, and Anthony, you brought this up, the porn connection, which is massive.
Absolutely.
Utah was, the only state that's now declared pornography a public health crisis.
That's correct.
But where have you seen where the response, Nicole, is good?
That would be Tennessee.
Is that it?
No, there are lots of other states.
Okay.
So you can go to Shared Hope International, and they actually rank the states and give them a report card based on the laws that they have. North Carolina just got an A. We were thrilled. But Louisiana and Tennessee are like leading the pack. They have this great statewide response, but they also have their own state hotline. They also have just really airtight legislation that's been passed within the state. So Tennessee is the one that I always point people back to.
Yeah, because they're taking it seriously and they're putting things in place.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Now, I would say that Congress right now really, really wants to see pornography consumers condemned. We want that. Everybody wants that. And so that's where we are as a country right now. We can all agree that if you're consuming images of child pornography,
right.
We're talking child pornography, everyone's disgusted unless you're actually a pedophile. I mean,
right.
These are the guys that when they get arrested, they're the ones being killed or beat up in prison.
Sure.
Even the criminals agree that this is bad stuff. But the problem is that let's say that there's a man, an uncle, that molests a child and videos it. That child can go to court and take that guy who molested her and get considerable amount of restitution because we can prove that that guy harmed her.
Yeah.
But what if she finds out later after the transgressions already happened, that was videoed and that it's gone viral? Any kind of stability that she's now gained,
it's all gone.
It's gone. So, but how do you charge the guy or the girl
right.
who has been consuming those images? How do you do that? And so that's what our country is struggling with right now. And that's why I went to D.C. It was my friend Aaron's legislation, actually, that said, okay, if this is a criminal act to consume child pornography, well, that's where the Congress is right now. Then how do you – and so there's legislation right now in there. They can't get it passed. It's on life support because it keeps going back to the Supreme Court that says if this is a criminal charge, it goes up against the Eighth Amendment. You can't have excessive fines like this. But what if you move it to civil court and you put it copyright?
Right.
So if you have consumed this, you have stolen my image and I can then sue you. That person doesn't have to go back to court. Their legal fees are covered, and it incentivizes lawyers to go after them.
Yeah,
so that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, because then there's blood in the water.
then there's blood in the
and
water.
The system will take advantage of that. That's the free market.
Over 8,000 kids with NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, their images have been identified, but no one's pressing charges.
Yeah,
and until we do that, we're not going to stop it.
How'd your meeting in D.C. go?
One thing that we talked about. The other thing that we talked about is the problem of, really young kids are consuming child pornography. And I'm about to say something that a lot of people don't want to hear. But when you are exposed at a very pivotal age, really sensitive age, where you're developing your sexuality, and you think that this is the script, and you think that this is how it goes, and you're getting aroused, you're having to an image, and then you're having a reward system in your brain from that image, you're getting hooked on that image and not a person.
Oh, that's right.
So what we're seeing now is in our early 20s, young men who are getting erectile dysfunction.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's a massive problem that's growing quickly.
And a lot of moms don't want to talk to their kids about it. Well,
you look at the whole Me Too movement, which is a whole nother conversation, but the objectifying of women in general.
Absolutely.
And then they just become objects. You dehumanize, which we've done in the political realm anyway. You can look at the fight between kind of conservative evangelical Christianity and the homosexual agenda side, and you dehumanize one another. And that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see this increase, revenge porn and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's sick. And let's not forget that actually female usage of porn is skyrocketing right
absolutely.
Now.
That's right.
Oftentimes
yeah,
we don't talk about that.
Novels and things like that.
There's plenty of blame to go around.
Look
but primarily,
Fifty Shades
it's a male
gray.
Problem, right?
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey, which all kind of women that call themselves Christians, and I'm not saying that they necessarily are not. Well, but that sold pretty well.
Very well.
Amongst
mm-hmm.
women, both the book and the movie. So let's switch, and then we're going to come back to the legislation part, Nicole. But Anthony, let's talk about the reaction. And then Nicole, you chime in on this too. The reaction of the church.
Yeah, I think it's a big issue that most churches unfortunately don't want to deal with. They don't necessarily see it as kind of like this pink elephant in the room, but they don't realize that most of the congregants are struggling with pornography.
Yeah.
The average, they said, the average person looks at pornography at least one time a month. 70% of all church-going guys are looking at pornography at least sometime. One in five pastors are struggling with pornography. But the reality is there are a lot of programs out there. There's a lot of resources out there like Celebrate Recovery, like G4, like different ministries that are out there that are helping men understand and women understand as well that this is a problem. But the greatest thing that the church doesn't understand is it's a shame factor. Most people don't want to come out into the light because they realize that it's a dark thing that they don't want to expose. And until you expose something, it's always going to be an issue.
Yeah, and then it's a chew toy of Satan's.
Absolutely.
And if it stays in the dark, that's where he has control.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, there's the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. That's not very well attended.
No.
But the sexual addictions meeting, nobody goes to that.
Nobody does.
And so we have to find an answer for that as well, which of course is the gospel. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today as we talk about a difficult subject, but something that we all need to engage. You can't turn your head and look the other direction on this one. You can't wish it away as we talk about sex trafficking, which also includes mostly children, young people. Pornography is the fuel that feeds it, and we've got 60 to 70% of men at church this Sunday that are struggling with pornography. You got Anthony Varon was sharing, and I knew the stat already that you've got. What, about 20% of pastors that are struggling with pornography?
Yeah.
It happens in seminaries. It happens all over the place. This is a public health crisis. And the end result and what fuels sex trafficking is the pornography industry and the addiction, which is the same level. And there's so much shame involved in it, which is why it stays in the dark and we don't go there. We talk about it pretty regularly on this show and bring a lot of people in to talk about it. But we have yet to get to the point where we kind of own it. And oftentimes, and we've done this with the homosexual issue too, the last place you're going to go, unfortunately, if you have a deep, dark secret, a deep, dark struggle like that, is the church. Because we're way too good at giving the impression, and sometimes it's just an impression, sometimes we do this, of guilt and shame. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we need to remember that. And if we're not helping each other, the devil will continue to play, and the whole culture pays the price. And so we need to remember that it's our role in the church to love each other, to not condemn one another, and to be, I hate to use the phrase safe space, but if you can't find safety in the arms of those who claim Christ, there is no safety in existence. Amen. And so we need to remember that too. Talking to Nicole Bernard, who's the founder and executive director of Shield North Carolina, shieldnc.org, and Anthony Varon, who's an activist and a volunteer. And I know you've got a couple things you definitely want to hit on, Nicole, and then Anthony, you as well. But sorry, Anthony, ladies first. And so I know you wanted to talk about specific legislation, and then we also want to talk about, on a real micro level, your community, Apex, North Carolina, where you've had tremendous help from the mayor there, who's actually with us on Facebook Live. So praise the Lord for that, Lance Olive in Apex, North Carolina. So let's talk about that, kind of the age of consent and verifying age. Let's start with the legislation, then we'll talk about your home community.
Yeah, sure. So I touched on it a little bit earlier that if you're a really young kid, you're easily influenced. Pornography can help shape the way you understand sexuality, and that can really influence your relationships moving forward, damage your relationships moving forward. So Canada and the UK have both passed legislation that says that if you want to purchase or view online pornography, you have to prove that you are over the age of 18. Now, I've even heard people in the pornography industry say, yeah, we don't make the porn for kids. It's kind of like smoking, right? We know that's not good for young kids. So you tax it. You get in trouble for marketing it towards young kids. But we're just now starting to catch up with that as a culture. So that's what I want to see. I want to see United States.
I love that. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Faultless.
That at least deals with part of the problem.
That deals with part of the problem. It won't solve it, but it will put a dent in it for sure. And then also, you know, one of the questions that when I met with the special assistant to the president, who's a special assistant on domestic policy, he said,
That's the president. We're talking
about
DC.
We're talking about Donald Trump.
Got
yes.
It. Okay.
So he was saying that what are your thoughts on Utah passing this legislation,
basically a resolution.
A resolution that pornography is a health crisis. I said, it is a health crisis. We know what it's causing. We know how it's damaging relationships. Yeah. We know that it has an addictive component. Unfortunately, we don't have the resources to get people the help that they need. And I just want to say that for me as a Christian woman, I believe that my role as a Christian woman is to lead and reign together with my husband.
Yep.
I am not here to point a finger. I'm not here to condemn. I hold men in really high esteem. I have so much respect for the men in my life. So this is not to point a finger. This is to reach out and say, this isn't good enough for our sons. I have two little boys.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that, you know, we're doing the best for our young men to bring them into who God created them to be. I want to tell you what we're doing at the community level.
Yeah, please do. So this is in Apex, North Carolina.
This is in Apex, North Carolina.
Outside of the Raleigh, North Carolina area.
This is the fastest growing municipality in the state. It's kind of like a white picket fence feel to it. I love Apex. I live in Cary, but Apex is my home. What we are doing in Apex is creating a prototype that we want to see replicated everywhere. So if we have listeners anywhere, this is hopefully some guidance that you can take and run with it. So we've got three pronged attack. The first one is working with the municipal government. So we know this has happened in our huge city, Houston. They created a model working through all the city departments in Houston for those employees to recognize and respond to trafficking. So that's the first one, municipal government. The second one is that we need to bring the body of Christ together. We've got to. It has to be the body of Christ working together to combat this. So that's the second thing we're doing. We're creating a church coalition on this issue. The third thing is that we're building teams for community engagement. So I've got a team leader who goes out to do outreach to the medical professionals. That's actually my husband. He's fabulous. So he's leading that outreach team. Then we also have somebody who's leading the schools, an outreach team to the schools. We also have somebody who's leading an outreach team going for the correction system. So those are just a few examples. But anywhere that there's trafficking, any territory, we want a team to go in there and serve that area so they can be completely shielded. That's what it's all about.
And then the local community, the leadership in Apex has been hand in hand, right?
Yep, absolutely. So getting their buy-in has been key. So Mayor Lance Olive has been, the first thing he did was say, let's write a proclamation for a week of awareness. That's where it started.
Wow. Yeah.
Two moms in a coffee shop with the mayor saying, here's our heart. He's saying, here's my heart and here's what I do as mayor.
And
that proclamation.
And the great thing about that is that can happen at the community level.
Oh, absolutely.
So Nicole, wife, mother, me, Steve Noble, former house painter. I was just minding my own business painting, you know, had a nice size house painting company here in Raleigh. And then, you know, with the backing of the Holy Spirit and the calling of God and with a heart for justice and a heart for your neighbors. You would be shocked. Shocked. Have you ever read the Bible? You'd be shocked at what God can do through anybody.
Amen.
And people go, well, God would never use people like me. What choice does he have?
Yeah.
We're all broken. We're all weak.
Yeah.
We're all broken vessels. That's why he gets all the glory. But that's such an encouragement on a local level, whether it's a city like Apex or Des Moines, Iowa, Albuquerque, New Mexico, wherever you're listening, Honolulu, Hawaii, big market, small market. You can get to the mayor. You can get to the city council and be like the persistent widow. You just be the one that keeps knocking, and I guarantee you, you'll get an audience.
Absolutely.
And they're kind of like teachers who have good students who are engaged. Government officials on a local level, if you're there and you care and you show up, they like that.
Absolutely.
Plus, it's good. Always remember, they need to get reelected. So they like that too. That's really, it's really important to remember that. Anthony, I know you wanted to talk about, you mentioned, Nicole, the porn problem and resources, but this is, I know, kind of right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. You know, I just want to talk to, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I know there's somebody out there that's struggling with porn. I can tell you from experience, it was a battle of mine for 20 years. And a lot of times I was ashamed. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't want to go to the church. I didn't want to talk to anybody about it because I thought that I was the most disgusting person in the world. But then I began to understand that there was a person named Jesus Christ, and he has the power to set me free. And too often we're isolating. We're putting ourselves in places of darkness, and we think that nobody knows about it. Trust me, God knows what you're going through. Your sin is no bigger than his cross. His cross is far bigger than your sin. So I just want to speak to you right now because there are programs out there that can help you. There's Celebrate Recovery. There's a great film out there on Netflix called The Heart of Man, and it really deals with the issue behind the sexual addiction and the reason why you go to these coping mechanisms that are false. And there's a lot of great grace out there because God's grace is bigger than your sin.
Amen.
And I just want to challenge you, if you're battling with pornography, there is hope, and you have to take the first step and realize that you can come out of this. You've got to realize that you are no longer a slave of this. You've got to humble yourself, and you've got to be willing to get help. Celebrate Recovery is an international ministry. They're all over the place. And G4 is out there, and there's a lot of great ministries out there, like Fight the New Drug is another great place to begin. And I just challenge you, if you're listening to me right now, you need to realize that if you continue to go down this route, you can potentially become someone that's a John that's actually sleeping with these underage people, the person that's doing child pornography, and realizing that this will eventually take you down a road that I promise you, you will never, ever want to go down. So listen to me and do something about it before it's too late. There is hope. I promise you, as sure as Jesus Christ lives, there is hope.
That's right. Number one website for somebody to go to. What would you say?
Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, that's number one. Okay. And then what was the name of the movie on Netflix?
It's called The Heart of Man.
The Heart of Man on Netflix.
Challenges you. Really challenges you.
Okay, Nicole, we're gonna finish it up with you. Just words of encouragement, challenge, however you feel led to finish. You've got a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I would like to say that I think you touched on it earlier that, I mean, I consider myself just a mom. And when I was walking down the Eisenhower Executive Building steps, you know, and I'm looking at the White House, my friend Aaron's husband said something like, "You're kind of a big deal." And you know what? I was kind of a big deal the first day that I accepted Jesus Christ
Amen.
Into my
That's
life.
Right.
That's when I became a big deal because I became a daughter of the King.
The King. Amen.
Everything else has been flow and walking through
Scripture
doors.
Says you'll appear before kings.
Yep.
And you will.
I was exactly where I should be.
Yeah.
That's what we all Christians should be expecting doors to open. We just have to have, you know, the boldness to walk through them. So no, I was not a big deal for walking through a door that my king, a gentleman, opened for me.
Oh, I love that.
I'm just a mom. I've got four kids. I run Shield North Carolina with 20 hours a week. So I run a nonprofit with a part-time job. So if you're a mom out there and you don't think you can do this, girl, please, you can. Do not accept those lies.
I ran a nonprofit with a full-time self-owned business. And people, that's the number one question.
You
can
do it.
They're probably like, Nicole, how do you do this?
God makes it possible.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right. It's
Amen.
The number one. That is the answer. People go, how do you make time for all this? I'm like,
Jesus.
I have no idea.
Jesus.
It's all supernatural.
We should be expecting to go to the highest
Amen.
Peace.
What's the website, Nicole, and can they get a hold of you and find out about the programs you guys are implementing? Where do they go?
Shield North Carolina. So that's www.shieldnc.org. Check out the Red X podcast. You can also email me at Nicole at shieldnc.org.
Yeah, if you go to the homepage, you'll find all that contact information. Nicole, thank you so much for being here. Anthony, thank you, brother, for being here and staying on top of me on this one. Yep. I really appreciate you guys. We'll do it again. Mi casa, su casa. This will not be the last time you're on the air here.
Awesome.
Make sure you do
thank
it
you so much.
You're
for
very
having
welcome.
Us.
God bless you, everybody. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And as my dad always said, ever forward.